Matthew 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme this morning is the bonds of the gospel. The bonds of the gospel. The bonds of truth. The bonds of love in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told his disciples that they can expect opposition and hatred in their service to him and in their preaching of his truth. But he encourages them in these verses with these thoughts. Firstly, that it shall not be so with all, that there will be those who will receive them. And secondly, that he takes so seriously how they are treated by men as to regard it as done to himself, and therefore that those who receive him, them, receive him and receive the Father who has sent him. This reinforces the principle in verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That is, that those who seek ease and will not have Christ and the way of the cross, that they shall find to their eternal dismay that what they thought was wisdom was the height of folly. Whereas those who forsake all and follow Christ and have that tribulation which belongs to the people of God in this world, that they shall find that they have made a great gain both in this world and above all in that which is to come. Let us learn firstly, true Christians love those who declare his truth. True Christians love those who declare his truth. Verse 40, he that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We must grasp here that true Christians love the truth. Real Christians love the truth. They are born of the Spirit. They trust in the Savior. And they love him. And therefore, they desire his truth, whatever he has to say in the Holy Scriptures. At our last communion time, in the fencing of the tables, we referred to Matthew 15, 26 and 27, where the Lord Jesus answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Here we find that this woman received the truth. Whatever the Lord said to her, she said, truth, Lord. However potentially offensive that truth might be, she said, truth, Lord. Because Christians love the truth. They want the truth. And it is impossible to be a believer and to love the Lord Jesus Christ and not to love the truth. There are those who may say they love Jesus, but they balk at every turn when the truth of God is brought to them, whether in public preaching or in private manner, because they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. All they have is sentimentality, a picture of some non-existent idea of Jesus in their minds, who is far removed from the Lord Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures. A sentimental idea, a sentimental, unbiblical idea of Jesus is not love to Christ. Real love to Christ means a love for the truth of Christ, a desire after the word of his mouth. And that's why true Christians will not dismiss truth. That's why in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10, those who are damned are said not to have received the love of the truth. Those who do not love the truth are not Christians, and they will be damned. Whereas true Christians, they love the truth. And this is a distinctive feature of the children of God. And because they love the truth, then true Christians help those who preach the truth. And that's why the text says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Prophets declared the truth of God. We do not have prophets as such today, but the ministers of the word take the scriptures and declare that truth. And real Christians love the truth, and therefore they help those who declare that truth. They receive the preachers of the word of God. Some people think it a small thing when a congregation forces a faithful minister away from them. They think it merely a matter of a clash of personalities, even though the man has not been negligent nor been guilty of heresy or scandalous behavior. They think it not very serious, and they think it a minor matter, and they excuse it. But God does not consider it so. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. God views it very differently to the superficial comments of men. So in Psalm 105 and verse 15, verse 14, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. By contrast, 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 15, where we find that Israel itself was guilty of setting at naught the word of the Lord and those who brought it. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. By comparison, turn to Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse 6. When Paul and Silas were in Thessalonica, verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. You see, there were people in Thessalonica who received Paul and Silas into their homes, and who encountered danger and who suffered on that account. The people of God will receive the messengers of God. They will give hospitality to them because they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they love His truth. Now, receiving and giving practical hospitality to Christ's ministers does not involve what it did for Jason and others in Thessalonica. So when there is need for it, it should be seen as a comparatively undemanding opportunity to show love to the Savior. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we love the Father who sent him? Then let us love those who come in his name and who declare his truth. And this receiving, which especially in biblical times included opening the home to them, even at risk, it was not mere convention and politeness. You'll see that it says there, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. In the name of a prophet, because he is a prophet. In other words, this is not just a convention. It is not just niceness to preachers of the gospel, whilst utterly indifferent in heart or even hostile to their message. This is a reception of them because of love of the truth which they declare. It is not then a mere following of convention when there is no love to Christ and to the message that is preached. The true Christian helps Christ's ministers because of the truth that they declare, and they shall receive a prophet's reward. That is, those who, though not called themselves to declare the word of God, nonetheless they side with those and help those who do. They shall receive the reward of grace as surely as the preachers themselves, because within their allotted role they are faithful to the truth. Their calling is not to preach, but within what is their proper sphere, they support and uphold the preaching of the truth of God, because it is the truth of God, and they love God, and they love Christ, and they love the Word, and they want to support and uphold and advance the truth. They are lovers of good men who preach the Word faithfully. You see, the cause of truth is our cause if we are the people of God. It is the truth for which we all stand. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, upholding the truth before men. True, the ministers are the public voice declaring that truth, but the whole people of God must strive together for the faith of the gospel. And they shall receive a prophet's reward. This reward is not merited, but those who are justified, those who are forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord shall at the last day own even their works of service to him which his grace alone has enabled them to perform. He will own those works, and they shall receive a well done, good and faithful servant. That is why we must encourage faithful men. We must glorify God by encouraging those who are faithful to the declaration of the truth of God. In the book of Acts 28, we read verse 15, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." The apostle Paul, who found his strength in the Lord, was not above encouragement from the people of God. And so as he was being taken to Rome, these Christians, they came and met him, and when he saw them, he thanked God and took courage. The apostle did find encouragement in the fellowship of the saints as he stood for the defense of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6. "Nevertheless God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." The apostle Paul was cast down. God comforted him by the coming of Titus and by the news that he brought of the brethren at Corinth. Well now, would faithful ministers of Christ be encouraged by meeting you? The apostle Paul, when he saw the brethren on the way to Rome, he was encouraged. He thanked God. Is it so with you? Would faithful ministers of Christ be encouraged by you? Or would they be depressed and discouraged by your behavior? This is awkward, isn't it? Because the truth about ministers has to be preached by ministers, but it's God's arrangement, so we stick with it. So true Christians love the Lord. They love his truth. And therefore, they seek all within their power to encourage and help those who preach that truth. Secondly, true Christians love those who are Christ's people. True Christians love those who are Christ's people. The text appears to expand from love to faithful preachers to love to all the people of God who follow after Christ. Verse 41, "And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." True Christians love those who are Christ's people. They love Christ, they love the Father who sent him, they love the truth, they love those who preach the truth, but they love all the people of God who also love that truth and who love the Savior and who love God. The righteous love the righteous. But you see, how does this tie in with Matthew 5 and verse 44? "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven," and so on. Well, it's a different aspect of love. There, the Lord Jesus is speaking of our obligation to have a benevolent love to the unlovely. And if that is a duty, how inexcusable then if we do not love those who have grace and holiness evidently in them? If we are to love those who have no holiness, who persecute us and despitefully use us, if we are to have a benevolent love toward them, if we are to be patterned after God and have an undeserved love, an unconstrained love to the unlovely, how much more then ought we to delight in those who love our Lord Jesus Christ and who manifest this in their righteous behaviour. The love here then is a distinctive love. It is a love which is found only in the people of God, toward the people of God. It is not mere natural affection in spite of someone being godly. It is a love because they are godly. Someone can be unconverted, but they love, they have a natural affection and a very strong natural affection to those of their family connection who are Christians. But it's not because they're Christians. It's in spite of it. They don't love a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, because he's a righteous man. They might love some of the spin-offs because they find him to be so straight and honest and fair and kind, but they don't love him because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they don't. But those who love Christians because they're Christians, because of the grace of God in them, that love shows itself. They receive them. They receive them as brethren. If they're travelling, as was often the case then, and they would look after them, they would care for them, they would help them. We read of that in 3 John earlier on. Verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. In the bonds of the gospel, after a godly sort, encouraging them onward in their way, in the fellowship of the saints. And these were the people of whom John says, verse 3, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so these who were in the truth and who walked in the truth and who loved the truth and whose souls were prospering in the truth, they loved those who preached that truth. They loved other Christians needing help who also loved that truth. Do you have within you a love for Christians because of their Christianity? Not because they're nice people, not because they're kind to you, but because of their zeal for God, their loyalty to the truth. Suppose there are no spin-offs in it for you. Do you love them because of the grace of God in them? Like Barnabas, when he went to Antioch and he saw the grace of God and he was glad. Do you love to see the truth advancing? Do you love to see hearts changed and sinners trusting Christ and the righteousness that manifests itself as a result? Then thirdly, true Christians love the least of Christ's brethren. True Christians love the least of Christ's brethren. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. These little ones, it's a term of affection, a term of endearment. And a cup of cold water, literally a cold cup, a small service done in the name of a disciple, because he's a disciple, expressing love to Christ in love to the brethren. We should love all the disciples of Christ. The little one is a term of endearment, and it may not imply the standing or position of the one loved, but surely it does indicate that Christ regard with a tender love all his people, and we should do no less. So in chapter 25 and verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The least of these my brethren. Not just the more prominent Christians. Not just the ones you want to impress. The least of these my brethren. Any disciple of Christ, however small and despised in the world, however much in the background in the church of God, do you love them and seek their good? Even though no one else will know, because God knows. Is there within you any of this unselfish love to the people of God? Because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. The application then. Firstly, take heed how we treat one another. Because God does. He takes heed. He sees all. He sees it all. People can imagine that they can misbehave toward other Christians, and it doesn't matter, but it does. Let us seek more of this. If we're Christians, we will have something of this in us. Let us seek its increase and take heed how we treat one another, because the Lord notices. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of mine eye. Do we provoke to love and good works? Have you thought about the effect of your behavior on the people of God? Professed love to God is worthless if there is no love to the brethren. If you don't love the people of God, you do not love God, and you do not love our Lord Jesus Christ. Hereby do we know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. It is a mark, an inevitable mark of being born of the Spirit, that we love the people of God because they're the people of God. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And nothing can be a substitute for that. Doctrinal knowledge ought to increase this love, not be made an excuse for its absence. We need to be known, not just as a people who know the Bible, we need that too, but as a people who love one another. And if we have the first and not the second, it's hideous. Reformed lovelessness is a most hideous lovelessness. To have all the truth, all that truth, not all of it, but all that truth, and none of the proper fruit of it, is a blot. It's a disfigurement. It's obnoxious. We are to adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour, not just be able to talk about it, adorn it. One feature of the times of persecution of the early Covenanters in Scotland, which is often overlooked, was how they loved one another. We know of their courage, their zeal for God and for His glory and for His truth and for the crown rights of the Redeemer. But they loved each other. Not with soppy sentimental talk, but in deed and in truth. That when it came to it, they were prepared to take great risks, to run hazards, to encounter danger, and to suffer for one another's sake. Then also let us mark those men who preach the truth and esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, even if they're not the most gifted. Let us prize faithfulness to Christ. One of the evidences of superficiality, even in the Reformed churches, is not just appreciation of gifts. That's right. We're thankful when God raises up gifted men. But an emphasis on gifts over against godly faithfulness. We want gifted men, but we want faithful men who will declare the truth. There are gifted men who are compromisers of the truth. And there are less gifted men who are faithful to the truth. Esteem faithful men and do them good and encourage them in the way of God. Encourage them in an evil day in their hearts. So then this passage tells us, true Christians, those who trust the Saviour to take away their sins, they trust the Saviour because they've been born of the Spirit, and that work of grace in them will show itself in a love for faithful preachers of the word and a desire to help them, and help them in that work that the truth might be held forth. It will show itself in love to all the people of God, because there is a bond among God's people. They trust the same Saviour. They've been born again of the same Spirit. They love the same gospel, the same truth, and they desire the honour of Christ and the advance of that gospel in the midst of the earth. And also we have this, that the Lord gives to His servants this encouragement that there will be those who by the grace of God receive the truth, who will show their love to them and who will deal kindly with them, and that the Lord sees all that goes on among those who profess His name, and at the last day He, as the Christ of God, when He shall judge the world in righteousness, and when He shall separate the sheep from the goats, He shall say to the sheep on His right hand, "Inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye did it unto me."